I was like, that's the funniest, but I use my shear. I use for my shear. I love it. Is this taping? Oh, Reed, is this taping already? Oh. Hi, everybody. I know it's a very busy Sunday, so we want to get started. I just want to welcome a new wonderful addition to our community. This is Miriam Koren. Her bio is very long, but I will say that she was the head of the American program at Migdal Oz for a couple of years. She's here now with her husband, Asher, and they are the Bnei Akiva Shlichim, and have absolutely invigorated this community. Also, we are privileged that both of them are at Kohel Yeshiva High School. Miriam is a Tanakh, is a Beit Midrash fellow, and head of all things Ruach, and just an unbelievable presence, and I can attest that I think my daughters see her every day, at least twice a day in a class, and it's never enough. So we're really thrilled to have you here, and to hear Torah from you. Miriam will be speaking about Shoots and Ladders, the role of dreams in Yaakov's life.
Okay, so after that introduction, really I'm just going to make two apologies and start with that. So my first apology is that, so we're from Israel. We came from Israel like 4 months ago now, and my English is still not exactly what it probably should be. So if I make mistakes, or when I read Hebrew, I read it too fast, or if I don't have the right words or use like Hebrew words to connect, so my apologies. And second apology is that I just spent the past Shabbat with 60 kids from like Greater Philadelphia and a Shabbaton in Northeast Philadelphia, so my voice is also not the best. And I'm a little short, so I'm like hiding behind this fender, but yeah, with that I can't really, you know, yeah. Okay, it's good? Okay. The last thing I want to say before I start is that really we've been here, as I said, for like 4 months, and the warm welcome that we've received has just been like above and beyond. I think I've met most of you, and those that I haven't met yet, I'm looking forward to, either through Torah or through Bnei Akiva or through Kohelet. And it's just been an incredibly warm welcome, and I wanted to, on behalf of myself and my husband and my kids, to really thank you for welcoming us in so nicely and so warmly and in such a nice way. We should get started because we have a lot to do, so let's get started. Here. Wait. Here. Okay, so what we're going to try to explore today is we're going to try to follow through the roles of dreams in Yaakov's life. What we're going to see is that in this week's parsha that we just read yesterday, we saw really the first dream in Yaakov's life, but we see that the dreams continue appearing in his life gradually as he moves on. We're not going to go through all of Yaakov's life because we only have an hour, but we're going to go through the phase of Yaakov's journey from leaving his house in the beginning of Parshat Vayetze, where he has to basically run away from his house to Haran, and until he actually returns back home and back to, I would say, his legacy and his destiny when he comes back to Beit El at the end of Parshat Vayishlach, which is the parsha that we're going to read next week. So we're going to start really with the first dream, which I know that Smadar Rosenzweig was here this time last year, and she also spoke a little about the dream. We're not going to focus on the things that she focused on because our goal is a little different, and we're going to try to take it really to a greater perspective in Yaakov's life. Another word of introduction that I think that when we read the Parshiot of the Avot that we've basically been reading since Parshat Lech Lecha is that we see that each one of our Avot is living like a parallel life, okay? On one hand, he's living the life of, you know, he's one of our forefathers. Hashem talks to him. Hashem talks to him and tells him, you are going to be the father of the Jewish people. I am going to give you the promised land. You are going to multiply, and this land is going to be yours and your descendants for generations to come. And at the same time, the Torah also, as if opens the window and opens up their life to us, okay? We know about their wives, and we know about their children, and we know about their shvachot and their Avadim, and we know about their political life when it comes to Avraham Avinu. So Avraham is a very strong political leader, and we know about, you know, when it comes to Yaakov, so we know more about his family life and, you know, how he forms his family and the dynamic of Rachel Velea and Bilha and Zilpa and their children and how that all works on. But we're constantly looking at these two parallel phases that our Avot are living in, and I think that it's a very powerful message to us, you know. They're not only the forefathers, but they're also, you know, the Torah tells us so much about their life, and at the same time, they're not only living just a life, they're also the forefathers. Hashem is actually talking to them and appearing to them and taking an active role in their life. And with that context, I would like us to look into Chalom Yaakov and into really the phase and the phases that we see that Yaakov goes through with his dream and with his journey going back and forth, really, from Haran back to Eretz Canaan, back to Eretz Yisrael. What we're going to start with doing is we're going to start with really the first chalom, which is, I think, the core, I would say it sets the foundation for Yaakov's journey, and I think that in light of it, we should really be tracing through his footsteps. I'm going to read through it, and we're going to point out like a few, like I would say, literary components. The ones that we're going to focus on while we read the section of the dream is, we do this a lot in our Chumash class with you know, the 10th and 9th and 10th grade girls, is the verbs and the geographical location of where things are actually taking place. Okay, so really when we read the opening of Parashat Vayetze, we say Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva Vayelech Harana. It's very simple. He's going from point X, which is Be'er Sheva, to point Y, which is Haran. But at the same time, what we're going to see now is that it's not that simple. Even though he's going from one very identified point on the map, right? And he's pressing on his GPS, or maybe he doesn't have one, the other point on the map, and he's starting his way to that other destination, okay? And then he starts going, and at some point, Vayifga b'makom, vayalin sham ki ba shemesh, vayikach me'avnei ha'makom, vayasem mirashotav, vayishkav b'makom ahu. He has to stop on the way, okay? Now, where does he stop? We don't know. We know it's called a makom, okay? Now, makom is somewhere, okay? Like, I'm imagining that if Rivka, his mother, would call him and she would ask him, Yaakov, where are you? He would say, somewhere? Really? I don't know. I'm like in a makom, okay? When we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu makom, what we're trying to say is that Hashem is like, it's the part of the song that Hashem is truly everywhere, so he's somewhere everywhere. He's not in like any particular identified location. He's somewhere, which I think the Torah is trying to tell us, which is an abstract makom, okay? And what does he do there? He does a lot of very active things, okay? Vayifga b'makom, and remember Chazal that he's davening, vayal in sham, vayikach me'avnei ha'makom. We have all these midrashim evolving in our head now, right? That he collects all the rocks, vayikach me'avnei ha'makom, vayasem mirashotav, and the rocks are fighting. We're not going to get into that whole phase. Vayishka b'makom ahu vayachalom. So we're kicking off Parashat Vayetze with a whole, you know, list of verbs that are just following continuously. I don't know how to say this in English. That are just going one after the other, and I think that we know from Tanakh that when we see a lot of verbs coming along, a lot of verbs often comes along to say he's doing a lot of things, but there's a big silence in the background. We see a lot of verbs when Avraham Avinu goes to the Akedah. We see a lot of verbs when Bilam is heading towards the, you know, Bilam is heading towards cursing or blessing Am Yisrael. A lot of verbs often come in a scene where, I don't know, but when I'm like a little upset, so sometimes I'll like go in the kitchen and just wash dishes and clean the counter and do a lot of things, and I'm just not going to talk because I just have to sort of vent out my emotions in action. And I think that we see that in Tanakh as well. When you see a lot of actions, tak-tak, you know, someone is doing a lot of things but not really saying anything. So sometimes those actions in a way replace a lot of words or emotions that could have been verbalized in this situation. And what's going on in Yaakov's head? We have to remember the end of Parashat Toldot. Yaakov is leaving. He's leaving Eretz Canaan because of two reasons, okay? One reason is, unfortunately, his brother wants to kill him, okay? He was just like part of this whole very uncomfortable episode where he was basically torn between his father that wants to bless his older brother and his mother that wants him to receive the blessing. And he ends up following his mother's words, and the result of this is that he basically has to run away from his brother. And the second reason for which he's leaving is that he has to find a wife. He has to find a wife in Haran, because we know that his mother Rivka is very displeased with the fact that Esav, his older brother, married the local woman of Eretz Canaan, and he has to go find a wife in Haran. That's the right thing to do. Now we do also know that he received the chosen bracha at the end of Parashat Toldot, but I think that in Yaakov's eyes, and I think that the Midrash strongly illustrates this as well, Yaakov is running away and he is alone, and when the Midrash tells us that he meets Eliphaz, right, Esav's I don't know, officer or Asaph's guard, or I don't know what Eliphaz was exactly. But the Midrash tries to tell us that Yaakov is here alone. And Yaakov is alone, and I think Yaakov's a little scared also. And when the Midrash tells us here that he's Vayifgabam, and when the Psukim are giving us all these verbs, I think that we can only sort of try to witness that fear that's in Yaakov's mind, that he doesn't exactly know where he's going, he doesn't exactly know what he's doing, and the deepest, I think, fear, or the most profound, I don't know, like the deepest fear that he has is also that, is he now being sent on exile from being, I would say, the chosen son? Because we know, and this is justified, right? Avraham had two sons, one was chosen and one was not chosen. And then Yitzchak has two sons, and we know that Yitzchak really wants to choose Esav. And at the same time, Rivka knows that Yaakov is the chosen son. But when Yaakov has to run away and has to leave the chosen land, and he has to leave the land in which all of these promises will actually be fulfilled, he doesn't know if he's going to be invited back to this land. He doesn't know if he's going to be returning to this phase of being, you know, the continuation of Avraham, Yitzchak, we know it's Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, but I don't think Yaakov knows yet that it's actually going to be Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov that found Am Yisrael. Yaakov's phase of action stops when he starts dreaming, right? He sort of like settles down, and he starts dreaming, and in his vision he sees the ladder, that it's Mutzav Arza. Okay, here I always like to point out that it's not, you know, we usually imagine, you know, that diagonal ladder, like, you know, the one that you climb up to build your sukkah, and you sometimes fall up, you know. Sulam Mutzav Arza is a very strong ladder. Mutzav means that it has an angle of, you know, a 90 degree angle, you know, Mutzav, Nitzav. Nitzav means that something's like standing very straight, okay? So what we have, what we can imagine here, please correct me if I'm wrong, Yaakov is lying vertical? Horizontal, sorry. And the ladder is standing vertical, okay? There's a very, like, okay? And if Yaakov is, like, on the, I'm not going to remember this again, okay, but we'll keep going with that, okay? So he sees this ladder, and he sees the angels basically going up and down. And then Hashem appears to him, and I think that this pasuk for Yaakov is the most meaningful part of this dream, because Hashem basically appears to him, and we know that the way Hashem appears tells us a lot about the content of the message as well. Hine Hashem nitzav alav ayomar, ani Hashem, ani Adonai Eloi Avraham Avicha veElohe Yitzchak, haaretz asher ata shochev alea lecha etnena ulezaracha, we're going to keep going, והיה זרחה כאפר הארץ, ופרצת ימה וקדמה וצפונה ונגמה, ונברחו בך כל משפחות האדמה ובזרעך. I want us to point out a few things in this remark. Okay, first thing I want us just to know, that at first we were talking about some abstract place which was called Hamakom, right? It was mentioned three times in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayifga b'makom, Vayikach me'avne ha'makom, Vayishkav b'makom, and we emphasize that Hamakom is like a more abstract location. Now our geographical definition moves to be Ha'aretz, okay? The Sulam is Mutzav Aretzah, and Hashem is Elokei Ha'aretz, and Vayazaracha ke'afar Ha'aretz. So after three appearances of Hamakom, we move on to three appearances of Haaretz, which Haaretz is a much more familiar location, okay? He's in the country, you know, like if I'm continuing that cell phone conversation, where are you? I don't know, Ima, I'm somewhere. So the next one is, are you in the country? Yeah, I'm in the country, don't worry, okay? He's still in Haaretz, he's still in the national location, he's still in the chosen land, he's still in Haaretz, and Haaretz in the context of Sefer Bereshit is really continuing that phase of, you know, national continuity and national promise. The most important thing that I do want to focus on here is really the way Hashem appears, the way Hashem introduces himself to Yaakov. Because when Hashem introduces himself to Yaakov in this week's parasha, in these psukim, he comes along and tells him, Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha veElokei Yitzchak. And by doing that, he's in a way telling him, and I'm also going to be Elokei Yaakov. And for Yaakov, that is the most reassuring thing that he can hear right now, because now he knows that even though he's being sent off, and even though he's being kicked out of his house, and he's being sent on exile, that he's going to be away for like a lifetime, for like 22 years, Hashem, which is Elokei Avraham and Elokei Yitzchak, is following with him. And I think that it's so powerful that we see Rashi, the first Rashi in Parashat Vayetze, I put it on the bottom of the sheet, I'm sorry, it's only in Hebrew. It says that when a tzaddik leaves the city, I'll just say it in English, Yetziat tzaddik min ha'ir osar roshem. When a tzaddik leaves the city, so part of that power that was with the tzaddik leaves with him, okay? And it says, Pana ziva, pana hoda, pana hadara, which means that all of the glory of the presence of the tzaddik, so when the tzaddik leaves the city, all of this glory leaves with him. And I can say that I never understood this Rashi until once I heard Rabbi Yaakov Meidan come along and say that what is this glory that goes with the tzaddik? And the answer is it's the Shekhinah. Okay, and when the tzaddik leaves the city, So the Shekhinah leaves with him. And we can only imagine that we know that the Shekhinah was dwelling in the tents of Abraham, and then it was dwelling in the tents of Yitzchak. The nicest place where it says, where we're actually introduced to that, is when Rivka comes back into the tent, and all of the miracles that were part of Sarah's presence, right? You know, the light, and the bracha, and the challah, and all that. So the miracles were there because the Shekhinah was dwelling there. And really, when Hashem appears to Yaakov in this hitgalut, we understand that the Shekhinah has basically followed Yaakov on his journey, and that Hashem is following with him on his journey to Haran. And for Yaakov, this is so, so valuable, because really he feels that he may be like losing it all. Okay, and Hashem doesn't only say, I am the God of Abraham and Yitzchak, but Hashem also passes him the torch. Okay, and what is the torch of Abraham and Yitzchak? The torch of Abraham and Yitzchak is the bracha of the Aretz and the bracha of the Zerah, the bracha of the promised land, and the bracha of the fertility that Am Yisrael will multiply, Vayazar Achake Afar Haaretz. And Hashem now is promising, giving him that torch. Now, I'm not a big sociologist. I'm sure there are people here that are more experts in sociology than I am. But in some of my teacher's courses that I took, I think probably like 10 years ago, so one of the theories that they teach teachers is the Maslow, I say in Hebrew, Teoriat HaTzrachim Shel Maslow. Yeah, so I know to say it in Hebrew. I don't really know how to say it in English, but I think it's more or less familiar. That really, the theory comes along and says that, right? I'll say it like in very non-professional language. Please excuse me for that. But really, the theory comes along and says is that people have elementary needs and they have more like superior, more profound needs. And if your elementary needs are not satisfied, so you don't have the patience or the mindset to actually, progress, to move on to more spiritual or philosophical needs, etc. When they teach you this in teacher classes, they basically come along and say that if you have a student that's coming from a home where he doesn't feel safe, or on the contrary, the classroom is freezing, or they're worried about he didn't bring lunch, he's not going to have the mindset to actually listen to the big, deep ideas that you're going to actually try to present in the class, right? That the, you know, does this make sense? That if your elementary needs of like warmth and security and food and like that aren't taken care of, you don't really have the mindset to absorb deeper and greater ideas. And I think that that's what happens here to Yaakov as well. Because Hashem is giving him these great, great, great promises, the Aretz and the Zerah, and you're going to continue the legacy of Abraham and Yitzchak. And if I was Yaakov, I would say, but Hashem, I'm in the middle of nowhere. I don't know where I'm going. I'm sleeping on a rock. And I just don't know what my next step is going to be. And I feel like Hashem is responding just to that in the next promise, where the next promise is a much more personal, and it's about those elementary, basic needs that Yaakov is now in need of them. Okay, let's read Pasuk Tetvav. I think it happens to be one of the prettiest psukim, and if I could really wish my kids that Hashem would really bless them with each one with this Pasuk, so really, I think it's really beautiful. Hine anochi imach, okay, Pasuk Tetvav 15. Hine anochi imach ushmarticha b'chol asher terech. I am with you. I will protect you wherever you go. V'hashivoticha el ha'adama zot. I will return you to this land. Ki lo ezveka ad asher imasiti et asher divarti lach. Okay, I will take you and I will protect you and I will be with you and I will not leave you alone until I bring you back to this land and I fulfill my promises to you. Okay, and I think that this really gives that closure that Yaakov needs so much, because in Yaakov's situation, he really can't absorb the fact. So big deal. So I'm the continuer of Avraham and Yitzchak, but now I'm alone and I'm running away from my house, and I left my whole safe zone entirely. And what Hashem is giving to him in Pasuk Tetvav is really that promise that Hashem will be with him and Hashem will give him that protection, those elementary needs that he needs in order to just survive during, you know, in the upcoming journey that he has. What I wanted us to notice, two more things before we move on to Yaakov waking up, is that we changed geographical locations again. We moved to Ha'adama, okay? V'ashivoticha el ha'adama zot, and yivrchu b'cha kol mishpichot ha'adama. And we're trying to say, look into geographical locations. So I think that what we see here, there's a zoom in, right? Like zoom, like in the camera. There's a zoom in with the geographical locations that is parallel to the promise that Hashem is giving him. So if we first saw Hamakom, the location was very abstract, and then we moved into Haaretz, which is very national, Adama has a very personal context. Adama is like, I'm an Oved Adama, I work my land. Adama is already the soil. You work your own land, you plow your own land, you get buried in your own soil, and Adama has something which is almost intimate about it. You know, like in Tanakh, you know, Kain was Oved Adama. You have your Adama. Your Adama is your own. And I think that we see this, that same zooming in when it comes to the promise as well. First, there's Hashem appearing and angels, and it's a very like universal HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's appearing. Then we do the zoom in to the national phase, which is the promises of Haaretz Ve'Azera. And then we move on to a promise which is almost intimate. Hine anochi imach, ushmarticha bechol asher telech, veshivoticha el adama azot. That is already a very personal, intimate, close promise. And I think that we see that this dream is really, you know, Hashem is appearing to Yaakov first as a very great Hashem, and then as something national, and then as a very, very personal HaKadosh Baruch Hu that will be there for him and will protect him throughout this journey. The next thing I want to notice is that all the verbs move to be Hashem verbs, because Hashem is basically making the promise, right? Imach ushmarticha vashivoticha lo ezeka ad asher asiti. And then Yaakov wakes up. Vayikat Yaakov mishnato vayomar. And then, before we move on to the neder, and to what, when Yaakov wakes up in the morning in Pasuk Yudchad, we move on to a selection of verbs that are all cognitive, that are all in his mind. Vayikat Yaakov mishnato. He wakes up. And he's still, theoretically, he's still lying on the rock, okay? Vayikat Yaakov mishnato vayomar, achen yesh Hashem ha-makom hazeh, ba-makom, okay? Now we're back to the makom that we saw in the beginning. Ve'anuchi lo yadati, vayira vayomar, ma nora ha-makom hazeh, endekim bet elokim v'zeh shara shanayim. So what we come along and we see here is two things. What happens to Yaakov in the second phase of the dream, or after he wakes up from the dream, is that he has an understanding, okay? More than that, he actually wakes up and does a lot of stuff. Soon he will wake up and do a lot of stuff, but before he does that, he does a lot, but all this is going on like still in his mind. He reaches an understanding. What this dream gave to him is a new understanding about what he's doing, where he's going, what his mission is all about. And what does he understand here? He understands that this makom, which was very abstract, what is it? It is Beit Elokim v'Shar HaShamayim. And how beautiful is it that this makom, where he felt that he was like in the middle of nowhere and he was totally lost, becomes a house, a bait, and bait with all the connotations of home and warmth. It's a Beit Elokim and it's a Shar HaShamayim. So he's leaving, but he's going into Shar HaShamayim. He's leaving his home, but he's being invited into Beit Elokim. He's leaving his, you know, he's leaving one safe zone, and he thought he was totally thrown off it, but he's being invited into the safe zone of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is basically taking him in. That is what I want to focus on the neder, and now we're going to take the step ahead. Then he makes the vow, and I think he spent a lot of time on this last year with Dr. Rosenzweig when she was here. The neder and Chazal go a lot into what are actually the parts of the neder, where really the main question is Ve'haya Hashem li le'elokim part of the condition or part of the pitaron of the neder? But he makes this vow, and the vow, I just want to note one point in the neder that he makes, right? Neder translates into vow, is that true? Yeah? Okay? Okay? So, one thing I do want to point out is that there's a lot of parallels in Pasuk Kaf, in number verse 20, between the neder and the promise that Hashem gives him. But I want to just point out one thing that is not there, okay? Vayidar Yaakov neder le'emor, yimi elokim imadi, Hashem will be with me. This connects to hina anochi imach. Ushmarani goes back to ushmarticha bechol asher telech. V'natan li, okay? This goes to back that I will give you whatever I promised. V'shavti v'shalom v'ashivoticha, okay? V'shavti v'shalom, I will return in peace. Reflects back to v'ashivoticha el adama azot. I just want to point out that v'shavti v'shalom, Yaakov says El Beit Avi, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's V'shavti V'shalom was back to the promises and the great promises and the glory, where Yaakov is saying, I just want to get back home safe. And I think that in Yaakov's perspective it makes sense. He just wants to be home safe. Hashem has great, great, great plans for him, that he will go back to the Havtacha, the Aretz V'Azera. But Yaakov is really promising to just return home and to have Lechem Lechol V'Beged Ilvosh. He's making a very, very personal promise. But then he moves on also when he says, the Ha'even Azot Asher Shamti Matzeva Ye Bet Elokim. Okay, V'Kol Asher Titen Li Asher Aser Asrenu Lach. And I think that this connects. A whole context that we did not talk about is that all the Midrashim and all the Parshanim, modern and traditional, talk about where is this ladder located, and in all of the commentaries, really what evolves is how does Beit El actually become Beit HaMikdash? In what angle was that ladder standing to connect this vision that Yaakov is seeing to Beit HaMikdash? I'd like to welcome you to go into the VBN to Rav Meidan's shir on this week's parsha, where there's actually very graphic illustrations of where Yaakov is lying and where the ladder is positioned and how he's actually covering really all of the locations that Avraham Avinu was Koreh B'Shem Hashem in Avraham's life. But I do think that what we can come along and see from this neder is we understand why Chazal learned that Vayifga v'makom is lishon tefillah, why Yaakov is praying here. And I think that we can understand from this whole story why Chazal thought that this location was Beit HaMikdash, because really, it is Beit Elokim and it is Shaar HaShamayim, and it is a place where Yaakov turns to Hashem and where Hashem actually reaches out to him and introduces himself as the Hashem, which is Elokei Avraham v'Yitzchak. Let's move on, okay? That is the context of the neder. Then we move on into all of Parshat Vayetze that we read yesterday, in which we see basically the whole phase of Yaakov's life in the home of Laban, which is obviously not easy. It's all about really Yaakov growing, and I would say growing in two phases that are not parallel. Yaakov builds his family, and he also becomes a very wealthy person. Like, at the end of these 22 years, what are his main accomplishments, if we want to measure them? I don't think they really compare or measure. But we see along the whole phase of Parshat Vayetzes, we see two main things that happen to him. The first thing that happens to him is the whole Rachel v'Leah, that whole story, which we're not going to get into right now. The whole, you know, getting Leah instead of Rachel, and Rachel being barren, and Leah having her sons, and the whole story of really building, you know, really Chadis or Shiftei Israel, Binyamin's only going to be born a little later. But we see the whole form of Yaakov's family really being built in Parshat Vayetze. And after that, there's this whole parak that comes in, which it isn't always obvious what it's actually doing here or what it gives to us. You know, the Torah could have just told us, and Yaakov had a lot of sheep. But we have this whole parak where basically we see all of Perek Lamed gives the story of Yaakov and Lavan and the whole Akudim Nekudim Utluim, which is the whole phase that goes on with how Yaakov becomes a very wealthy man that has a lot of sheep. And basically what my father always talks, when he talks about this parasha, he says, I don't know how you say this, you know how like there's, I'm going to just speak in Hebrew. In Hebrew you call it Yoetz Hashkaot, you know? If you're investing in the stock market, so there's the people who tell you what to invest in Hebrew it's called Yoetz Hashkaot. Investment advisor, right. It translates. Yoetz is an advisor, and Hashkaot is to invest, right? So Yoetz Hashkaot. So basically, Yaakov seems to know what to invest in, okay? Because whichever thing that Laban basically states his, I would say this. They're shepherding together. We'll explain the story for those who are less familiar with it. They're shepherding their sheep together. I hope I'm saying this right. And basically, Laban has to pay Yaakov for what he's doing. So basically, whichever. There's a few kinds of sheep, and Laban says, you are going to get this sort of sheep, all the sheep that have, I don't know, black polka dots or white polka dots, etc., etc. And whichever sheep that Laban promises Yaakov, so suddenly those sheep start multiplying in an unrational way for any genetic expert that was actually following up the development of how sheep multiply. I don't know how sheep multiply, but I've heard genetic experts try to explain this. At the end of the day, what we come along and we see at the end of the parasha, when we start Perek Lamed Aleph, is that we come along and we see that when Yaakov will actually come and tell his wives, to Rachel and Leah, that it's time to leave, so he conveys to them that he's not any genetic expert, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like his, he has HaKadosh Baruch Hu as his financial advisor, and that whichever thing that, you know, like Yaakov knows what to invest in, and that whichever sort of sheep that Hashem, that Laban tells him, so Hashem like automatically tells him, you put your money there, they're, you know, those sheep are going to multiply. And by that, by Hashem being there at Yaakov's financial assistance, Yaakov's sheep grow and multiply, and he becomes a very, very wealthy man. And by that, he also creates a lot of antagonism between his shepherds and Laban's shepherds, and there's a lot of jealousy going on, and it's becoming very, very uncomfortable, the situation in the home of Laban, because not only, like, in the beginning it was just, you know, the Rachel and Leah, in the beginning the conflict was around the wives and around the children, and which of his daughters Laban was actually giving Yaakov, but then when it moves into the financial sphere, it apparently becomes impossible. And let's read the beginning of Perek Lamed Aleph. Vayishma divrei bnei Lavan leemor lakach Yaakov et kol asher leavinu measher leavinu asa et kol hakavod hazeh. So Lavan's sons and Lavan's shepherds are being very upset for Yaakov taking all of Lavan's glory, basically. Vayar Yaakov et pnei Lavan vine inenu imo kitmol shilshom. Okay? He sees that Laban isn't, you know, it's becoming uncomfortable to go to work, okay? the boss-employee relationships are becoming a little not so comfortable here. And then Hashem appears to Yaakov and tells him, "Vayomer Hashem el Yaakov, shuv el eretz avotecha ulemoledetcha ve'yeimach." And Hashem appears to Yaakov and tells him, "Yaakov, it's time to go. It's becoming uncomfortable. It's time to leave." Yaakov goes, and when he calls Rachel ve'Leah, this is where we're focusing on. He calls Rachel ve'Leah, ve'yikra le'Rachel ve'Leah sadel tzono, ve'yomer lahem pasukei ro'e anochi et pnei avichem ki einenu imi kitmol shilshom, ve'elohe avi aya imadi. So while your father is not treating me the way, like, nicely anymore, so the God of my fathers, okay, it's not even his forefathers, it's really literally the God of his fathers appeared to me, okay? So there's almost like a comparison here between your Avi, your Abba, right? Rachel Leah's Abba, and the God of my Abba, okay? So there's like two voices being heard here. One voice is being a very like antagonized or alienated voice towards Yaakov, and one voice on the other end is telling Yaakov, come, I'll be with you, okay? And what does Yaakov tell them? Ve'atena yedaten ki bechol kochi avadeti et avichen. Ve'avichen hetel bi ve'chlif et maskorti aseret monim. Ve'lo nitano Elohim la'arai madi. You all know that I've been working and I've been giving Lavan my heart and my soul and working really hard for him. And even though Lavan has been very not nice to me and has been changing, you know, my salary definitions. I don't know how to say all this vocabulary in English. But even though he's, you know, Lavan has been very not nice to me, okay? If I've been doing something right, so he said, oh, you cannot get a salary for that. I'm going to give you your salary for the other kind of sheep. And when the other kind of sheep started, you know, their stocks, what they were starting to
increase.
So he said, no, you're not getting those. You're going to get the other kind, which there are only like a few sheep of those. And then when they were starting to increase, you know, he kept messing up with him, and it was becoming a very not nice situation. Okay? Im ko yomar nikudim yescharecha v'yaldu kol atzon nikudim. V'im ko yomar akudim yescharecha v'yaldu kol atzon akudim. V'yatzel elokim et mikne avichem v'yiten li. So what are we coming along and saying? Yaakov is telling them, I'm not any, you know, genetic expert here. I don't know anything about sheep that you don't know. I have Elokei Avi Ayahimadi. Hashem was with me and Hashem supported me through all of these challenges that Lavan has been presenting to me. And all these challenges that Lavan has been presenting to me, Hashem has been following through them. And Hashem has been helping me increase my benefits no matter what Lavan has been trying to be cheating me out of, you know, this situation. Vayhi Beit Yachem Atzon, and he's a little explaining what's been going on. Vayhi Beit Yachem Atzon, while the Tzon was breeding, Vayesa Enai Vayere Bachalom, Vine Atudim Olim Min Atzon, Akudim Nekudim Uvrudim. So what we come along and see is Yaakov is telling them, how is Hashem helping me with this? Hashem was appearing to me in my dreams, and he was telling me what I should be doing exactly. Vayomer Elai Malach Elokim Bachalom, Yaakov Vaomar Hineni. And then Hashem appeared to me, Vayomer Sana Einecha Ore Kol Atudim Olim Min Atzon, Akudim Nekudim Uvrudim. We're not going to go into all this. Really, I once happened to be in like a series of classes explaining genetics through this Tzon episode. We're not going to go into that. There are, I think, a lot of experts here that are probably bigger experts than I am. But really, Hashem, what Yaakov is now telling his wives, that Hashem was with him all along in like dreams throughout this period, telling him exactly what to do and how to manage this crisis that he's been going into. And basically, Hashem has been fulfilling his promise to him. Hashem has been protecting him and giving him support and giving him guidance and helping him through, you know, Ushmarani, right? Remember that dream that Hashem gave him in the beginning? Hashem has been fulfilling this dream throughout this time. And even though these 22 years have been incredibly hard and incredibly difficult and incredibly challenging, Hashem was with me all along. The Ramban actually says this on the bottom of this sheet. I'm just going to read the second sentence where it's underlined. Aval mashi yisaper lo chalom echad hu. We see that Hashem has been with Yaakov all along. It's not that 22 years later, finally Yaakov says, oh, it's Hashem. Hashem, where have you been? What the Ramban is coming along and saying that Hashem has been with him all the time. All throughout this procedure, all throughout these challenges, Hashem has been telling him what to do and how to do it and how to actually overcome this situation. And then Hashem appears to him again, okay? Pasuk Yud Gimel. And here Hashem reminds him of the original dream that we've seen, you know? The original dream in the beginning of Parshat Vayetze. This is like 22 years later, okay? Anochi Ya'el Bet El, okay? I'm Hashem that appeared to you in Bet El. Asher Mashachta Sham Matzeva. Asher Nadarta Lisham Neder, okay? You built a Matzeva for me. You made a vow. Ata kum tse min ha'aretz hazot v'shuv el eretz moladitecha. And I think, what is Hashem telling him here? Hashem is telling him here, you were in Lavan's house for 22 years. You built your family and you created, built a beautiful family that are going to become the father years of Am Yisrael, and you became a very wealthy person. That we know that for the Avot in Chazal, our Avot were very, very, were wealthy people. We know that Abraham was a wealthy person, we know that Yitzchak was a wealthy person, and now Yaakov also, that left totally with nothing, and the Midrash also tells us that he was totally, robbed off on the way. I don't know how to say this. Someone came and stole all of his belongings. So Yaakov, that came to Laban with nothing, has now become a very, very, very wealthy person. And I think that what Hashem is telling him in this pasuk, Hashem is telling him, in the personal phase of building up your life, two thumbs up. You did it. You did it. You did it very well. You built your family, and you became a very wealthy person. Hashem is telling him, now it's time to do what? To return to the phase of the neder, of the matzeva, of continuing the legacy of Avraham v'Yitzchak. Shuv el eretz moladetecha. And when we hear moladetecha, we always connect to that first, Avraham Avinu, lech lecha memeretzecha mimoladetcha, el aretz asher areka. And really that transition, that the moladet of our avot, they come from Haran, but really the place where they're supposed to fulfill their dreams, where they're supposed to fulfill their legacy and their destiny as our forefathers, is really in Eretz Canaan. Hashem is telling him, "Kum tzeh min ha'aretz hazot v'shuv el eretz moladetecha." And the rest of the psukim are really that Rachel and Leah come along and say, "Kol asher omar elecha elokim, kol asher omar elokim elecha aseh." And Yaakov gets the support of his wives, and they say, "Okay, we're going to start leaving," and they start heading to go, which is not an easy thing. Because they've been in Laban's house for 22 years, and because their whole business world and because their whole family world is intertwined in the life of Haran, and they start leaving. And I didn't bring the whole episode. We can move on to the next page now. I didn't bring the whole episode of the separation from Laban's house, but it's not an easy one. I will say that leaving Laban is very, very difficult. There's the whole story of the Trafim, right? Rachel takes Laban's Trafim, Laban's idols, with her, and there's a whole like issue. Laban comes and he chases them afterwards, and it seems it's very, very scary, and the whole like separation doesn't happen in an easy way. What I just wanted to bring here is a few extra comments that I want to add into the context of what we're saying. And those extra comments that I want to say is, first thing, that there's a lot of criticism. Rashi brings it up also, and the Midrash elaborates in ways that I only brought one Midrash here, that really there's criticism in the Midrash at this phase that it took Yaakov so long to actually get up and leave, that he actually needed to reach a situation which it was almost like the end of the end, you know, Laban, and we know that the Midrash later and the Jewish tradition is going to turn Laban into the head of anti-Semites for generations, and in the Leila Seder, when we try to start the story of hatred towards the Jewish people, we're going to say, Arami Oved Avi Vayered Misra, you know, like that, and Laban is going to be the first person that actually looked at the Jews and hated them and wanted to kill them or destroy this nation. There's a big gap here between the pshat and what the tradition did to it over the generations. But I'm just going to say that the Midrash has a lot of criticism for Yaakov really staying until there's like only like a sliver of time left for him to actually get out. Really, because the Midrash comes along and tells Yaakov, you have a neder, you have to go back, you have to get back into the phase of your national leadership, you have to get back on that phase of being Avraham, Yitzchak, ve'Yaakov. You're not only carrying the personal torch of building your family and growing financially, you also have to become Yaakov Avinu, you also have to become the leader of Am Yisrael, you know, to carry that torch back and revive Avraham and Yitzchak's destiny and legacy in Eretz Canaan. Another thing I want to point out here is that two more points of the role of these dreams. So we know that Yaakov dreams in the beginning of his way, and Yaakov is apparently dreaming these dreams in which Hashem is protecting him throughout these 22 years. A cute thing that I wanted to point out is that Hashem also appears to Laban, and on that final episode before Laban and Yaakov actually separate, so Hashem interferes in the like in the normal interaction between Laban and Yaakov, and we're just going to read here. Laban dreams too on pasuk afdalin vayavo Elokim elavan arami b'chalom alayla vayomer lo hishamer lecha pen tedaber im Yaakov mitov adra. Hashem is if Hashem is protecting Yaakov, ushmarticha bechol asher telech. So now Hashem is stepping in and he's saying, it's not enough for me only to protect Yaakov, I need to also take care of the other side. And he appears to Laban in his dream and tells Laban, leave him alone, leave Yaakov alone. Yaakov, I'm with Yaakov, and you have to stay away from him. Don't, you know? Hashem is telling Laban, hold. Yeah. Another thing that I wanted to notice, that we know that Yaakov's kids are also going to dream, right? Yosef's going to dream, and this is like a few parshiot ahead. This is taking us like to January, I think. Like Yaakov's dreams, Yosef's going to dream also. And what we see when Yosef dreams, so Yosef also dreams. And when Yosef dreams, so his brothers become very, very resentful towards him. And it becomes, you know, becomes the big controversy that leads to Mechirat Yosef and all that, etc. I just want to note that even though, so what we see with Yaakov is an ambivalence towards the dreams and the lives of his sons. In the lives of Yosef, basically. On one hand, he is Go'er Yosef. He tells Yosef, what's this all about? Like, what are you talking about? Vayigar beYosef, and at the same time, vayikanu baechav. Okay, so yeah, Yosef's brothers are jealous of Yosef for his dreams. The Aviv shamar et hadavar. You know, Yaakov learns his lesson. Yaakov knows that dreams, like they have a further vision. Like, dreams can come true. You know, like Yaakov remembers. Yaakov, like, he preserves this dream. He says, you know what? You know, I don't know if we have these albums that we make of our kids and we hope to show them to our kids in their bar mitzvahs or things like that. So Yaakov's as if taking Yosef's dreams. Yosef's actually older when he dreams these dreams. But Yaakov takes these dreams and says, you know what? We're going to see, you know, what is actually going to end up happening with these dreams. But let's move back into Yaakov, which is after 22 years of being in Haran, he is heading his journey back towards Eretz Canaan. This is the last psukim of Parshat Vayetze, which we just read yesterday. And I just want to show the parallelism. Parshat Vayetze has a bit of a chiastic structure, Mivne Chiasti, has a bit of a chiastic structure to the beginning of the Parsha. And I just want us to point out the parallelism between the last psukim of... It's the last psukim of Parshat Vayetze, it's the first psukim of Perek Lamed Bet. Okay, Yaakov starts the journey back to Eretz Canaan. V'Yaakov halach lederko, v'yelech Yaakov, right? V'Yetze Yaakov, v'yelech harana. Vayifgeu bo, vayifga b'makom, right? Remember, vayifga b'makom, vayal in sham. Vayifgeu bo malachei Elokim, malachei Elokim olim v'yordim bo. Okay, so the malachei Elokim, right? He meets them again. Vayifgeu bo malachei Elokim, vayomer Yaakov kasher am. This connects to vayar, okay? This whole cognitive understanding. Vayikrashem vayar machane Elokim. There we had bet Elokim, so now we have machane Elokim. Vayikrashem b'makom o machanaim. This is a comparison that is brought by Rav Yoni Grossman in this Megadim. Okay, so this is not my comparisons. I just want to give Geula La'olam and mention that this is a Rav Yoni. And I just want to create this comparison and this parallelism. That really, when Yaakov leaves, Hashem appears to him and gives him this promise for protection and this promise for carrying the torch of, you know, of being the next Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. And when Yaakov starts returning back, so Hashem appears to him in a very, very, very similar manner. I brought the Ramban here really just to come along and say that that Hashem comes to him and appears to him in this vision, really to show him that he is with him and that he is stronger than Esav. Because we know that Yaakov wants to come back, and just as he left with two reasons, he's also coming back and he has to handle two big deals on the way. First he has to separate from Laban. Then he has to encounter with Esav, that he knows that Esav is coming towards him. And we know Parshat Vayishlach that we are approaching next week is all about how Yaakov prepares for the encountering with Esav. And the third step will really be, and only after he accomplishes or manages to overcome these two huge obstacles will he hopefully manage to be Yaakov and be Yaakov Avinu and start fulfilling that mission, that great mission of Birkat Haaretz and Birkat HaZera, etc., and really taking upon his national role and not only, like, I would say, the personal role. I'll just read the bolded line in the Ramban and I'll translate it. Avalaya hamar'e azeh liYaakov, this whole episode when he meets Malachi Elokim, this whole vision, ka'asher ba b'gvul oivav, as he's entering like an unfamiliar territory of his enemies, leodio, this is all to tell him when he meets these Malachi Elokim, this whole episode at the end of Parashat Veishlach is to tell him, ki rabim asher ito me'asher itam, that he is stronger than they are. Okay? And to have him reach the recognition that he is not alone. And that even though if he feels that it is only him and his camp that are entering Eretz Yisrael now, Hashem is with him. Just as Hashem has been with him throughout this whole journey that he has been on. Now we enter Parashat Vayishlach. Okay, the way Parashiyot are structured is we have a whole week to absorb Parashat Vayetze before we enter Parashat Vayishlach, and now our Sunday morning before Parashat Vayishlach. So let's give like this intro into Parashat Vayishlach. Parashat Vayishlach opens up with the extensive preparations that Yaakov makes for the encountering of Esav. Okay? We all know this from day school, that Yaakov prepared in three ways. In Hebrew, in Maigan, and it said, Doron Tfilah V'Milchama, which is by presence, by prayer, and by for war. Okay? The three different channels in which Yaakov prepares. There are extensive preparations here in which, also here there's a lot of criticism in the Midrash that Yaakov is so fearful of Esav, and it is seen as a lack of faith on Yaakov's end, because really Yaakov should know that Hashem is with him, and he should know that if Hashem is bringing him back to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem will be with him through this. The Parshanim are critical towards Yaakov, really, because he uses phrases that we are used to using when it comes to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ulai yimtza chen be'enai, right? We know that we say about Hashem. Limtza chen be'enai Hashem, you know? Yaakov uses all these phrases towards Esav that are phrases that we are more familiar with from, like, fear that a person should have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not fear that someone should have of his older brother. This even gets enhanced even more. And this is definitely elaborated in this essay that I presented in Rav Yoni Grossman's essay in Megadim, is really that Yaakov takes a lot of his, he's a very wealthy man, but he takes almost a tenth of his belongings as part of the gift that he's going to give to Esav in, as part of the gift that he's giving to Esav when they meet, okay, as part of the presence of the gift of their encountering. And this stands out, and this, you know, gets the Midrash all very, very upset, because when he says, Eser Gmanim, and Eser, you know, sheep, and Eser Kvasim, and Eser Izim, and Eser of this, and Eser of that, this can only remind us of the neder that Yaakov made, where Yaakov basically told Hashem in Beit El, 22 years ago when he was leaving, he said, if you bring me back to the land of my forefathers, kol asher titen li, whatever you give li, aser asrenu lach. Who's lach? Hashem. And who is Yaakov giving this maser to? Esav. Okay? And that's what really leads, I would say, the criticism towards Yaakov, and really coming along and saying, Yaakov, you have a mission to fulfill. Your mission to fulfill is to go back to Beit El and give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the mincha that you promised that you would give Hashem. Give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the gifts that you would promise to give him if you would actually succeed in your journey and return back to your homeland. And instead of doing that, you're spending so much effort and so much tension and so much stress and just preparing to actually meet Esav. After all, we can all take a deep breath, because we can all have a breath of relief, because it all works really fine. Esav is actually pretty happy to meet Yaakov, and they meet, there's a nice gift, it all works pretty smoothly, and then Esav goes one way, and Yaakov goes the other way, and that episode that Yaakov is so afraid of in the beginning of Parshat Vayishlach sort of rolls smoothly, okay? It's like, it doesn't become a big deal. A big deal that does come. So now we theoretically are expecting Yaakov to go back to Beit El and do what he's supposed to do, right? La'kim atzeva, and to start being Yaakov Avinu. Instead of doing that, what we come along and we see... I forgot this whole episode. Sorry. Back to number 5, okay? The night before meeting Esav, an interesting thing happens. The night before he meets Esav, so they're crossing Ma'avar Yabok, geographically speaking. To those of you that have been to the Kinneret, so we know that when you stand in the Kinneret, right? The Kinneret, so we have the Kinneret, okay? On the west of the Kinneret, we have the Galil, right? We're envisioning Israel now, right? So on the west of the Kinneret, we have the Galil Elyon, the Galil Tachton, and then we have, I would say, the mountains of the Shomron, okay? The mountains of Yehuda, and Jerusalem's in between there, okay? We got this? You with me? Okay? On the east side of the Jordan River and of the Kinneret, we have the plateau of the Golan, right? The plateau of the Golan. And then we have, under the plateau of the Golan, there's a big wadi, like a big valley where there's... And that's where Ma'avar Yabok is. Nachal Yabok is the... right, there's like natural borders and war borders. So Ma'avar Yabok is like a natural border between... Really, between the Golan, between Israel, Syria, and Jordan today, right? Because Ma'avar Yabok is the southern border of the Golan, because it's really like a huge fall down, because the Golan's a plateau. So Ma'avar Yabok is this huge fall down, like into the river of the Yabok, which is a big river there. On the other side, to the south, we have Jordan, and on the other side, to the north, we have Syria today. Okay? Is this clear, more or less? Basically, what we have to remember from this is that what Yaakov's about to do is he's about to enter Eretz Yisrael through, I would say, the south of the Kinneret. Okay? Now, the closest city that Yaakov knows of when he's entering the south of the Kinneret Tveria doesn't really exist then, so which would be like the natural thing. We don't really know what happened in Beit Shean at the time. There was some sort of city there. But Yaakov, just like his forefathers, goes up to the mountain. Beit Shean is in the valley, Beit Shean Valley. Yaakov goes up to the mountain, just as his fathers did. We know that Avraham Avinu basically throughout his life goes north and south on the mountain, the channel of Ritzuat Ahar, the route of mountains throughout the center of Eretz Yisrael. From Shechem in the north to Be'er Sheva in the south, he goes, you know, Shechem, Beit El, Yerushalayim area, Kiryat Arba, Hebron, Be'er Sheva. Okay? This is the center of Eretz Yisrael. And Yaakov, when he comes into Eretz Yisrael, he goes in and he climbs the mountain. He goes up to Shechem. Okay? He goes up to Shechem. We are less familiar with Shechem today because it happens to be Shetach A, so it's not really one of the places we go tour at when we go to Israel. But Shechem is really, really close to the Kinneret. It's really, really close to Beit Shean. If you're standing in Kibbutz En HaNetziv or in Kibbutz Shluchot or in Beit Shean itself and you look up, you see a big mountain, and on the top of that mountain is Shechem. Okay? So Yaakov comes in, and the first city he goes to is he goes up to Shechem. But really, where we are still in Ma'avar Yabok, okay? So that night, okay? Now, what are we expecting to see that night? The night before he's actually entering Eretz Yisrael, what are we expecting to see? A dream, right? So he transfers his whole family, like his whole family moves from... he puts his camp to sleep. So that night he wakes up and he takes his wives and his shvachot and echadis hariladav. So they're crossing the river at night. And then he is left behind. And then we have this incredible pasuk. Vayivater Yaakov levado, Yaakov remains alone. Vayavek ish imo adalot ha-shachar. Whatever, he has the whole episode with the malach. He fights, he has this battle with the angel. And it's time to wake up because it's morning already and he has to return to his camp. But then what do we see? Yaakov tells him, and this is how we really understand that this is an angel, that this isn't just a person. Even though, you know, Sami Dreshim will say this is Esav's Sarim again. Okay? So what do we come along and we see here? We see that before Yaakov enters Eretz Yisrael, at night, instead of dreaming, now he's having a real life episode. And what we come along and see is that when Yaakov is about to enter Eretz Yisrael, instead of seeing dreams anymore, now at night, when we were expecting to see that, again, a chiastic dream that would be reflecting to that original dream, he's actually doing it for real. He's not anymore the passive person that's like lying on the rock or sleeping at night and getting financial advice of how to conquer the next challenge. Now he has to fight the battle himself. Okay, now it's not enough to just like in his dream get that vision, in his dream to hear what the next step is. Now he has to really fight. And for the first time we see Yaakov, that first with this deceiving his father and dressing up into Esav, and then through ways of like godly financial advice was overcoming financial challenges. Now he has to do the real thing. Because when he enters Eretz Yisrael, if he really wants to become Yaakov Avinu, he has to, vayavek ishimo. It has to be like, he has to do it for real. It's not enough to be anymore Yaakov. And that's where we see the transition from Yaakov to Israel. Because Yaakov, as Rashi says, lo Yaakov, lo yamer od shabrachot ba'u lecha be'ikva u'berimya. Not anymore through cheating, or through decisiveness. Ki'im besara u'begilui panim. Sara u'begilui panim means milshon Yisrael, milshon yashar. Milshon in a straight manner, milshon direct way. Now it's time for you, now that you're entering Eretz Yisrael, you have to do it the right way. You have to do it face forward. You can't hide anymore. You can't hide anymore behind Esav's, you know, clothes, furry clothes, and be an Esav anymore. You can't hide behind, you know, Hashem appearing to you in your dream and, you know, miraculously having so many sheep. Now when you're entering Eretz Yisrael, the Malach, I think, is coming along and telling him, Lo Yaakov ya'amer od shmecha ki'im Yisrael, ki sarita im Elokim ve'im anashim v'tuchal. Ve'ikra Yaakov shem ha'makom pni'el, ki ra'iti Elokim panim el panim v'tinatzel nafshi. Ve'izrach lo ha'shemesh v'utzole al yirecho. Okay? And then the sun rises, and here, okay, here when he wakes up from the dream, he doesn't have an understanding. He's a little perplexed, he bends his leg, or tzolea al yirecho, he can't really walk straight. And then we have the whole Gidan Hashem story, which we're not going to get into that anymore. But Yaakov, what we see when Yaakov enters Eretz Yisrael, he enters Eretz Yisrael through a real encountering. No more through the dream, but through the real thing. Through, like, Yaakov, it's time to step up. It's time to get on the stage, okay? So far, you know, I was with you in two main channels. Like, I promised you two things. I promised you the national promise, and I promised you the personal protection. I gave you the personal protection. Now it's time to get on stage and fulfill that national promise. And to fulfill that national promise, you have to be Israel. You have to be able to work with people, and you have to be able to likro b'shem Hashem, and you have to be able to pick up on that Avraham Avinu legacy that is waiting for you to be doing. Okay, Yaakov comes in, and this is where the whole geographical description comes in. Vayavo Yaakov shalem ir shchem, and we have the whole Rashi, shalem b'mamono, shalem b'gufo, that Hashem basically healed his deficit, that his leg was broken, or he sprained his ankle, I don't know exactly what to call it. So le'al yericho, he was limping, so the Midrash tells us that by the time he comes to Shchem, he is already healed. Vayichan et pune ha'ir, okay, and he parks in the city. Vayikin et chelkat ha'sadeh, so the first thing he does is that he purchases a piece of land there, which is interesting, because Avraham, it's almost the last thing Avraham does. Yaakov, it's the first thing he does when he enters Eretz Israel. He purchases a piece of land, and he builds a mizbech, v'yikra lo el Elokei Israel. So the first thing he does is he says, he built a mizbech, and he built it, and he calls it El Elokei Israel. The Midrash has it, the Parshanim have it very difficult with what is El Elokei Israel, but I feel that when he comes along and he says, he recognizes that now it's time. But yet, this is still not enough, because the Torah still wants him to go to Beit El, and we're going to see that in a minute, okay? I just wanted to say that, what do we call this El Elokei Israel? So the Rashbam comes along and says, El Elokei Israel, she'itzilani milavan ve'esav. He builds this mizbech, and by that expresses his gratification for the saving that he just had. And I'm just going to read the end of the Ramban, okay? Let's read the end of the Ramban. Let's read the beginning of the Ramban. Wait, here. Al derech ha'emet u'kemidrash rabotein, I'm reading the beginning of the Ramban, minayin shekra'o ha'kadosh baruch hu li'yakov el, tatatam, we're elaborating, this is basically parashanut for why he's calling the mizbech el elokei Israel, but what I want to read is the last sentence, which I didn't underline for some reason, ha'kavana she'ashchina shora be'eretz Israel. Yaakov reaches the understanding that he knows that now he's in Eretz Israel, and here the Shechina is, and here, this is where he's supposed to be fulfilling his mission. Then we move on, and we see, okay, then we move on, and the big gap that's in here is that why doesn't Yaakov go from Shechem to Beit El? Because what trouble does he get into in the middle? We know Yaakov's life is never an easy one. He goes from obstacle to obstacle to obstacle. He goes into the whole episode in Shechem with Dinah, which basically, I think this connects to really the phase from which Yaakov ended, because Yaakov's story began. If we started Yaakov's story with Yaakov being foreign and not knowing where he's going and not knowing what he's doing and leaving his safe zone, his entry to Eretz Yisrael is also in the same way. Is he a foreigner, or is he familiar to Eretz Yisrael? Is this his moledet, or is this his... is he new, or is he foreign to Eretz Yisrael? Because on one hand, okay, he's got an Israeli passport, right? He was born in Israel. He left Israel as a... As an adult already, in an age where he was ready to get married. He left Israel like pretty adult and pretty mature. He probably knows the language. He knows some of the culture. He knows the music that played like 20 years ago. He knows. And at the same time, when he's coming back into Eretz Israel, we know that he's feeling like a foreigner because he missed a lot. A lot's been going on. I think that the Parshia of Shechem and Dinah bidyuk handles that tension. Is he a local, or is he the foreigner? Because that intermarriage question of, can Dinah marry the son of the king of Shechem? Or Shechem or Hamor, is that right? Shechem ben Hamor, right? If he can he marry or not marry the local girls, is bidyuk that fine tension of, is he a foreigner, or is he a local? And what's the answer? That he's both. Okay, he's also Yaakov Avinu that has this land as a promised land, but at the same time we know that he cannot intermarry with the people of Shechem. And that whole story presents to Yaakov this tension that he is in. At the end of the day, his sons, Shimon and Levi, make the concrete decision that they are foreigners, right? And they come and say, we are not intermarrying with you under no circumstances. Yaakov is very disturbed by this, okay? And we don't really know what's actually going to be. But Yaakov ends up leaving this scenario and moving on to Beit El finally. After this story is over, he leaves. What's very interesting is that we see that when he leaves is that it says Chitat Elokim al Amei Aretz, which means that this led to the whole Shechem episode led to a very position of pride to Yaakov's household. Okay, Yaakov leaves Shechem not as like the underdog, but more as someone that is very respected to be a very, very important person. And then Yaakov finally moves on to the fulfillment of the neder, and he moves on to Beit El. ויאמר אלוקים אל יעקב, here we don't see any more חלומות, we see קום עלה בית אל ושב שם, ואשר שם מזבח לאל הנראה אליך וברך לפני עשיו אחיך. And then Yaakov does this, and what we see here is that he's fulfilling the different parts of the neder that he made 22 years ago. Because, right, we said, V'aya Hashem li le'elokim, so what does he do? He tells his family, Hasiru et elokei anechar, get rid of all the idols that you brought with from Haran, all those idols that you brought in, you know, I know you put them on the lift, throw them out in the garbage, they are not here. The next stage that we're up to, we have to separate ourselves from the first phase and we have to move on to the next phase. And to move on to the next phase, we have to remove Elokei Anechar. V'nakuma na'ale bet el. And here Yaakov, finally, we see Yaakov taking this role of leadership. Nakuma na'ale bet el. V'eseh sham mizbeach la'el ha'oneh oti b'yom tzarati. V'yihi imadi, anochi e'emei imach. V'derech asher alachti. Remember, v'derech asher alachti. He's really saying the words of his neder. And now let's move on to the last sheet of this. Here. And basically, they remove all of the their jewelry, and they remove all of the jewelry that is connected to the idol worshipping, etc. And here, vayisu, they are traveling from Shechem to Beit El. Vayisu, vayihi chitat Elohim al ha'arim asher sivotem. The fear of the cities around, everybody's afraid of them. And then they finally go to Beit El. Tatatam, vayiven sham mizbeach, vayikra lamakom el Beit El. Kisham niglu elav ha'elokim bevorcho mipnei achiv. And another closure that we have here, the Midrash asks about, and it's so beautiful. V'tama dvora minetket Rivka, v'tikaver mitachat lebet el tachat ha'alon, v'ikrashmo alon b'chut. And everybody asks, why is this happening here? Why did this have to happen? Finally, Yaakov's going the right way. Why do we have to hear this story about Rivka, about dvora minetket Rivka? Why is she important? I'm just going to read the Ramban in the underlined row. Shirmoz lemitat Rivka, v'lachen kara shem ha'makom ahu alon b'chut. This hints to the death of Rivka. And what do we see here? We see here, I think, that multiple fulfillment. Because though it's very, very tragic, we see that Yaakov, on one hand, is returning back to the land of his forefathers to fulfill that dream, to build that mizbeach, to receive that bracha again of the Aretz Ve'azera and continue that legacy and the destiny. But we also see the fulfillment of Vishavti B'Shalom to where? To Beit Avi. And when we see here, V'tama Dvora Mineket Rivka, what the Ramban is telling us, Yaakov b'chavi itabel alima tzadeket asher ha'avatu. He's also returning to the house, to the home that he left, to the parents he left behind 22 years ago that didn't live to see him return. So he is returning, but he's also returning to the big legacy, but he's also returning to mourning and to the burial of his mother Rivka, the mother that he loved, that she's the one that sent him away and she didn't live to see him return. And that is what we see here. I think that this pasuk comes along to tell us that really Rivka lo zachta lir oto, but he is zoche to come back and return really to her house, to return to the house of his parents that he had left. And I think that he can come to the Mizbech and fulfill that national dream before he ties up those family, not obligations, I don't want to call them, that family connection that he left behind so many years ago when he left on this journey and really created his whole new family of its own. But really, he has to come back to Rivka and Yitzchak's house as well because he left it. And this story cannot be fulfilled without connecting to his parents. And finally, after he does that, and he mesirat Elokei Anechar, he takes away the idols from his house, and he returns back to the house of his mother, right? To Rivka, etc. Finally, Hashem appears to him again. Vayar Elokim el Yaakov od bevo'o mipadan aram v'yivarech oto. And here Hashem gives him the final blessing. Vayomer lo Elokim shimcha Yaakov lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov ki im Yisrael yikare shemecha v'yikra et shmo Yisrael. Hashem gives him the name Yisrael. Vayomer lo Elokim ani el Shaddai pre urve וקהל גויים יהיה ממך ומלאכים מחלציך יצאו ואת הארץ אשר נתתי לאברהם ליצחק לך אתננה לזרעך אחריך אתן את הארץ. And Hashem here gives him that promise. Hashem re-gives him that torch, okay? That torch that he in a way put on hold for 22 years because he was busy doing that personal family thing that he had to do in order to build that Beit Yisrael. Hashem is now saying, you have now a beautiful family. That family is going to be the family that is going to become Am Yisrael, that is going to become the family that from which Am Yisrael will multiply, and from which this is going to be the family that is going to inherit Eretz Yisrael in the future. And Hashem is sort of tying up really all the strings, and but I just wanted to really conclude with this, that it says here, Vayal me'alav Elokim, which is a unique phrase to say at an end of a nevuah, Vayal me'alav Elokim b'makom asher diber ito, and it's so powerful, the makom, right? This makom, this is the makom that we left 22 years ago. Vayal me'alav Elokim b'makom asher diber ito, ויצב יעקב מצבה במקום אשר דיבר איתו ויסח עליה נסך ויצוק עליה שמן ויקרא יעקב את שם המקום אשר דיבר איתו שם אלוקים בית אל, and he renames it בית אל. And what I just want to focus on for the and to close with that is ויעל מעליו אלוקים. So look at the Ramban here at the end, ויעל מעליו אלוקים כמו שאמר באברהם, ויעל אלוקים מעל אברהם. So where do we see this phrase from? ויעל, we see it also in Avraham. ובשניהם להודיע, in both of these places is to come to tell us, כי לא היה זה מראה וחלום ונבואה בלבד. This is not only a vision or a dream or a prophecy. אלא ששרתה עליו שכינה, okay? The שכינה is dwelling on him במקום אשר הוא עומד. Okay, and he gives the whole merkava of the שכינה, etc., etc. But what we're coming along and seeing here is that we see that Yaakov leaves for this journey and he leaves alone, and through dreams Hashem is guiding him through and giving him the promises of protection, the personal protection and the national protection. And it's going to take Yaakov a journey of 22 years of personal growth and building his family and making himself an entity that can become the continuation of Am Yisrael. And with great difficulties and with great challenges on the way, he finally manages to re-enter Eretz Yisrael. And when he re-enters Eretz Yisrael, Hashem tells him, now it is time for you to really get on the step, get on the stage of history. Become Yaakov Avinu. Become, you know, the third of our forefathers. Become Yisrael and not only Yaakov. And become one who the Shekhinah dwells on him, not only through Chalom and not only through visions of angels and ladders and stuff like that, but that Hashem really appears to him and speaks to him the same way that he spoke with Avraham and he spoke to Yitzchak, and now he's speaking to Yaakov, and to have that that legacy and that destiny continue. And I really just want to end with really, I think we all live a personal life and we all live a national life. And I think that when we read these parshiyot about the Avot, we are inspired to constantly create the connections between them, between the personal life and the national life of Am Yisrael. And really, that we should be zochei really to see our personal lives and families connecting to the national phase of Am Yisrael and of Geulat Yisrael, and vice versa, that we should be able to see Hashem's presence in our personal and daily life as well. Toda rabba. Questions? Oh, right. Questions?
All right, if you have any questions, thank you very, very much, Miriam. The next speaker... Oh, we are still working on, but it should be a very, very exciting second semester of Midrash at Yom Rishon.